Yeah, we're getting into some of the heavy stuff today, so yeah, put your seatbelts on. A couple of weeks ago, Brendan challenged us in this series, you know, what happens after we die. This is what we're looking at. And he challenged us with the thought that there may be more to this next life than what we'd previously understood or even imagined. Because what we're doing with this series is we're trying to simply get an understanding of what the Bible says is going to happen after we die. And so it's not based, hopefully, on my ideas or Brendan's ideas or books we might have read, but on God's Word. So we're going to continue today in the series. We're going to read from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Now, before we start into this, this is probably something that you're familiar with. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And I want to ask you guys to think about this before we start. Is this a parable? Is this because Jesus told a lot of stories to illustrate truth, didn't he? All the way through his ministry, he would tell a story about a storm or a plant or a seed or a weed or farmers or builders or all sorts of different things. But scholars actually are wondering if this is a little bit more than a parable, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that it could actually be based on a real life event that happened. So let's read it and we'll just listen to it and think about it, and we'll see what we can draw out of this in terms of principles. From verse 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not come, they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets." That was the word of God that they had at that time. That's the Old Testament. "Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." So do you think this is a parable or is it an actual real life event that Jesus was talking about? Now the interesting thing is that if it is just a parable, this is the only parable that Jesus told that gives the characters in the story a name. In this case, he named the beggar Lazarus. And if you think about that name, if Jesus was going to use a name just as an illustration, Joe or Frank or Mary or someone, it's unlikely that he would use the name of a personal friend and someone that was Mary and Martha's brother that had a significant thing happen in his life later, because that would bring confusion, wouldn't it? Lazarus, the poor beggar that Jesus describes in this whatever it is, a parable or a real life event, is a very different person to Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. There's a few reasons for that. That the other Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, was not poor. And he wasn't a beggar, because he owned his own home, and often Jesus and the disciples would go and stay there. And he must have been a relatively wealthy man, completely different to the beggar that Jesus is talking about in the story here. So, and Jesus was not into creating confusion. So I don't really think that Jesus, if he was just telling a story to illustrate a truth, would have used a name that would cause confusion. You're not confused, are you? My understanding, this is my position right now, is that most likely when Jesus told everyone about this, he was actually relating a true life story, something that had actually happened rather than a parable. But either way, this story of Lazarus and the rich man gives us some great insight into what happens after we die. And so we're going to really dig into this a little bit today and start to unravel and just to really get some clarity. And we're going to compare particularly Lazarus and the rich man and what happened to both of them and see what we can learn. And the first point I want to make here is that both Lazarus and the rich man were Jews. They were both descendants of Abraham. They were in God's family as in the natural. And as such, both of them had similar opportunities to know God because of the Jewish traditions that they had grown up with, specifically the Old Testament through the law and the prophets. They had the same heritage. They were both Jews. And so there was some very strong similarities there. It wasn't like one was a Jew and one was a Gentile or anything like that. They were both Jewish men. But that's really where the similarities end. The rich man, because he was rich, had everything he needed and more. He had fine clothes. He dined well. He lived in luxury every day. He was a blessed man. And there's nothing wrong with that. He was just a blessed man. And Lazarus, on the other hand, was desperately poor. And of course, in that time, there was no social welfare. There was no government support. And any single one of us can have faith and trust in God. It doesn't matter whether we're poor or rich or in between, whether we're Asian or African or Kiwis, we can trust in God. We can have faith in Jesus to save us. And that's what makes the difference. And that's what made the difference for Abraham. He was a man of faith. He's the father of faith because he believed against all odds that God was going to come through for him. And he did in the end, didn't he, when he was an old fella. But he was known as the father of faith. It's faith that makes the difference. Who are we trusting? And what have we got our faith in? You know, I think the thing is, the rich man, he actually trusted in himself, didn't he? He wasn't trusting in God. He was trusting in his riches. Whereas Lazarus, against all odds, he'd got the wrong end of the stick. And if anybody could have been annoyed and angry and bitter at God and lacked faith, it would have been Lazarus, wouldn't it? He was a Jew. I'm a Jew, just like that guy in the rich place there with all the good things. He could have been so angry about it. He said, God, stuff you. I'm not going to believe in you anymore. But he didn't. Obviously, Lazarus, in spite of the hard deal that he got, he had a faith and a trust that God was going to be there for him in the end. And I think that's the big difference. And I think even the rich man, when he was there in Hades, or that first stage of hell, I think he started to realize it's the penny started to drop of what he should have done all along. In Luke chapter 16, that part we read in verse 30, when he was speaking about his five brothers, he said, oh, if someone from the dead goes back to them, then they will repent. It's like he realized, oh, I should have repented. I should have turned around from the life I was living. I should have had faith and believed and trusted in God. because by then he knew that repentance was one of those keys that makes such a difference as to where we end up. He could have turned away from the selfish, sinful life that he'd been living, but he didn't. And now it was too late. He knew it was too late for him, but he thought, well, my brothers have still got time. And it was almost like he had a little moment of compassion. I actually wonder if maybe he thought that hell with his five brothers would be terrible, even worse. Maybe he knew them so well, it was going to be a torment times 10 or times 5. But anyway, the rich man's problem was clearly not that he was rich, but he was self-sufficient in his riches. He had everything he needed, and he was self-absorbed and arrogant to go with it, wasn't he? And he had never repented of that. He could have. He could have lived he could have got to a point through his life where and God gave him the opportunity, this poor guy at this doorstep, oh God, I should be helping him, please forgive me, and started to take some care and compassion, turn his life around, have some faith and trust in God instead of in his own stuff. But he didn't. Every day for years, God was giving him that opportunity, with Lazarus just a few feet away. And he just came and went and ignored him. He didn't notice, he didn't care. Even in Hades now, with some understanding of his need to repent, actually, I don't think the rich man had really changed his attitude much. If you think about it, he still had a condescending attitude towards Lazarus. He asked Abraham, the cheek of this, he asked Abraham to send Lazarus to bring some water to cool his tongue. The rich man was there in hell, and he was looking across at Lazarus and saying to Abraham, come on, get that guy to come and serve me. Come put some water on my tongue. See, he hadn't changed really, had he? And he asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to warn his brothers. He wanted Lazarus to be his little messenger. See, he still had an entitlement attitude, a superior, arrogant, because he'd lived like that all his life. And the Bible talks about the fact that as we live, so shall we die. And that's why it's important not to think that when we get to the end of our life, we're going to just switch everything around and we're going to get into heaven at the last minute, because it doesn't always work that way. Because sometimes we get so stubborn and hardened in the life that we've chosen and the pattern that we've made, that the arrogance that we've got in our heart and our spirit that we can't change. So we've got to change now while we've got the chance. We've got to be soft and open and receptive to what the Holy Spirit's saying and the love of God while we've got the opportunity. We can't wait and live our own life and do our own thing until the last minute and think, oh, I'll just make a change at that stage, because you might miss out and it might be too late. And sometimes things happen quickly and we get caught out. And Jesus talked about that as well. Luke 21, verse 34, Jesus said this. He said, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, which is a big word, and I had to look up in the dictionary what it means. And it simply means a frivolous, wasteful way of life. Now, we can get caught up and stuff that right, can you hear me okay? It's a good shower of rain, isn't it? If it was the middle of summer, we'd be feeling blessed. Sadly, we don't really need it. But Jesus was saying, he said, be careful. And he was speaking to the people. He said, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation. Don't get into frivolous, wasteful stuff. Don't live carelessly or into drunkenness and the anxieties of life. Sometimes we get so weighed down with all the responsibilities and this and that and the other, and we just get so sad and down and caught up in everything that actually we don't really think about what's important anymore. And that day, be careful you don't get like that, is what Jesus is saying. Or that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. And that's exactly what happened to the rich man. You know, he thought he was all sweet and cool and everything was all good. And think about it. I just thought as I closed today, I thought, let's think about this rich man. Now, if this is a true, actual, real-life account that Jesus was talking about that day, and I think it probably was, that's my own opinion, that once blessed rich man, for the past 2,000-plus years, has been in torment all that time. And he's still there in agony. And he's wanting a drip of water on his tongue to relieve the agony. He's still there, 2,000-plus years on. Day after day, every day. That's what Jesus talked about, for eternity, forever and ever. Lazarus, on the other hand, he had a pretty hard life, but it was relatively brief compared. For the last 2,000 years, Lazarus has been there in heaven beside Abraham and along with some of the other, well, all the other patriarchs. Isaac would be there, Jacob and Enoch and Noah and Moses and David. The disciples would all be there. The Apostle Paul would be there. What the Bible teaches us. His loved ones who'd gone on ahead of him, probably his mum and his grandma and his granddad and his great-granddad, they'd all be there because they were men and women of faith. And the reality is that if we've got faith and trust in Jesus, we'll be there too one day. It's that simple. So that's just some thoughts for us today about what happens after we cross that line. And it's pretty clear that the Bible teaches there's one place or the other, and we need to be sure that we're going to the right one, because it's a long time, eternity. It just goes on and on and on. So a few hassles and issues and struggles and things in this life are pretty small, aren't they, in comparison? So anyway, bless you guys. Just some things to think about today. And we'll continue our series next week. And there's a lot more to this yet. I mean, there's two hells and there's two judgments, it seems, and then there's also more than one heaven as well. And the whole climax of history and everything just comes together beautifully and awesomely. God's plans are actually so good. And I don't think he doesn't want to send anybody to hell. And that's why he's giving us so much time. That's why he's delaying the return of Jesus, so that people can still have that opportunity to come in. And his word's clear. And he wants us to love people into the kingdom for eternity. Isn't that a privilege? Isn't that an awesome privilege? That's the purpose why we exist as a church. That's why we got the van. To make a difference in the lives of the young people in Raglan here. Give them some hope for their future. Give them a picture of eternity and God's love and his goodness. Anyway, let's stand up. I'm getting carried away. Anyone would like some prayer today? Anyone like to give their life to Jesus? Anyone that wants to, just if there's any issues or needs in your family, just come and we'd love to pray and support you today. Bless you.